Okay, as long as Progress Energy, because I thought I heard it was on. It's important. I talked to somebody just this week who does not go here. Matter of fact, the person doesn't even go to church. And we've been trying my best for years to get this person in church. I've tried to live life before them. They actually are part of my family. And I heard them talking about a certain situation where they said, well, the Word of God is being used, and they start with the Word of God and come back to the Word of God. And I told that person, I said, that's not true. I'm listening to what you're talking about. And then they said, well, that's what I believe. And I said, well, you believe that because you don't know the Word. Amen. So don't be fooled by thinking somebody's talking the Word when they're not in any situation. You got to know the Word. How many know it's important we know the Word? God's going to judge us not by what we think. He's not going to judge us by what somebody else thinks. He's going to judge us by what? The Word. The Word. What He says is what His Word is. So it's important that we know the Word. I can't express it enough how important it is that we know His Word. Amen? So Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let everyone please his neighbor to his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that you may be with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And now that Jesus was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah saith, that there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with joy, all joy and peace, in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in the same sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now that's a whole lot of words. But we have actually broken them up and talking about church, and so I'm going to break them up. I'm just going to read through the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters, and then we're going to hit the fifth letter. The church is not a building made of boards and bricks, nor a lifeless organization, but is a living organism made up of people who have been born again by the blood of the Lamb. We are to represent our Savior while here on earth, within the church and without. That's why Jesus calls us salt and light. I thought it was really cool. My wife sent off for these posters, and she sent off for about, I don't know, got about 10 posters, and this came in the mail yesterday. So I said, Linda, can I use this tonight? She said, sure, that's what it's there for. Whenever you look in the Bible and you see the word therefore, look at what it's saying, you'll find out what it's there for. Amen. So look, be the salt light. The problem I have discovered, and I hope you have too, is the problem with being salt and light is too many people are hovering inside the shaker, or they haven't turned on the switch. Amen? Either hovering in the shaker or haven't turned on the switch. And so we've got the stuff, we're just not distributing it. Amen? We've got it. Like he was talking about Progress Energy, messing with the light switch. And you're talking about over in Africa, turning the light switch or turning the lights off for 12 hours or whatever. We are guilty of doing the same thing. We've got to understand that wherever we go, whatever we do, however we do it, we are salt and we are light. And so no matter what we're doing, we can make a difference in somebody's life in a very powerful way. They're just thinking about this, DC's little girl, Sierra, they're watching All-Stars 1. the district, and now they're at the state, and they've won every game so far they've played, making their way to the state, and tomorrow is the state finals. And I thought about one time when DC was playing ball, DC had a guy on his team that actually, if I had to think of somebody on TV that he reminded me of, all I could think of was Gilligan. If he was in right field trying to throw to first base, he would throw it to left field. If he go to bat, he would do, I mean, it was pitiful. And he just, bless his heart, he just couldn't get it going. And I was up on the stands going to pick DC up from practice one day, and I was actually working on my sermon. The coach didn't know that. And so the coach, this was the one time that I hadn't helped coach at all. I coached all other stuff, but I hadn't helped coach this. And DC, I'd always been there working on sermons while I was waiting to pick DC up from practice. And this day, the coach looked at me and says, I always noticed that you're taking the stats. Wow. And I didn't say anything other than, and yes, sir, and what? And he says, I need you to be my scorekeeper. And so I said, okay, I'll be glad to. I said, Lord, you open up a door. So I actually go in. And I'm sitting in the dugout every game. And what I found out was that young man was coming from a very bad home situation. And that young man actually, it was a wonder with what was going on in his life that he could even think how to even got to the ball field. And so God actually took me to the woodshed with this young man. And what I found out was there was a lot of guys in that field, in that dugout, that were going through the same thing. And why God put me as the scorekeeper was because I could talk to these guys different than the coaches talked to them. The coaches out in the field were going, come on now, you know better than that. Come on. Pick it up here. Blah, 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 blah. My job when they come in was, how you doing, buddy? I've written down what you've been doing, but I know you can do better than that. Matter of fact, if you'll keep your eye on the ball, you'll do a whole lot better than that. I know things are bothering you at home, but you keep your eye on the game. Keep your mind on the game because you got so much talent in you. And I watched that guy that honestly, Gilligan made it look like you'd rather have Gilligan playing for you, okay? That guy developed into an awesome ball player because I got a chance in the dugout to be, amen? When I was in that dugout with him, once I realized the situation, I realized God had put me there for a reason. Said, God, show me what I'm here for. And then I began to be, in his life, salt. I was adding flavor, and I was actually taking some bad things and preserving it. I was salt, but I was also light because I was telling him, son, you can do this. You know, let's go for it. He became a very good hitter. And he also, and I'm not saying it's because of what I did. I'm just saying is, God, give me a chance. Instead of sitting on the bench criticizing him, I actually got a chance to be in the dugout and do this with him. And I loved it. Matter of fact, when they started playing Bayreuth, they asked me to do the same thing. And so there I was at the practices I helped coach, and during the games I was there as a scorekeeper doing the same thing, salt and light. So now, God's called us to do this, all right? We're the bear, we're strong like the bear, the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves, that every one of us please his neighbor for his good of edification. Even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproach of them that reproached thee fell on me. So here's the stuff. Bless you. God bless you, sister. Are you sure? I was in Starbucks the other day, and I sneezed so hard, the guy on the other side said, God bless you. And I said, thank you. I said, if these teeth weren't real, you'd be holding them now. A good old sneeze is a good thing to get when you got a tickle going, but sometimes it really gets kind of rough, especially when you got a mouth full. Amen. Yeah. So see, comforter. God's called us. We're to lift up the fallen and encourage the weak. We're to remember our Savior's example. It's not about us. Somebody say it's not about us. We forget that. It's not about us. Number H, or letter H, humble. Humility and pride do not go together. You can have one or you can have the other. You can't have both. I mean, I remember the guy wrote that book, The Humblest Man I Know. He wrote the book, The Humblest Man I Know. Amen. And how I beat out the other 10. All right. Humility is, of course, a position, low position. Unity. Jesus taught us to be one. Jesus prayed for us to be one. There's a difference in unity and uniformity. But now, remember, it's up to every last one of us. God has given every last one of us the assignment to guard the unity of our church, of our family, of our friends. Or rejoicers. Christ, or Christians have more reason to rejoice than anybody. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See concern. We need a genuine concern for the lost. Paul and Jesus both were always full of concern for the lost. Now, here we go. H, harvesters. Now, this is going to kind of piggyback off of last week. Let's go ahead and read this scripture here. I've even written scriptures down at the bottom for you so you can see it. So, Matthew 9, 37 says, "Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, I want you to watch this now. And I wrote this down instead of just leaving it as a note for me to you. I actually put my notes down here for you. So this is what I was going to tell you. And I said, I'll just leave it down there so y'all can see it. See, or concern, ties in with H, harvest. You will never have a harvest without true concern. It's impossible. We cannot make a difference unless we are truly concerned. Harvest or harvester should always be a verb. I actually should be harvest, but harvester should always be a verb. We should always be about doing something that's going to bring somebody closer to God. And remember, you got a choice. You can just build yourself, which God does not care much for, and God will not actually put his approval on that. Or you can build the church, or you can go even further and build the kingdom. If everything you do is about building a church, you still missed it. Because there's people out there that need us to talk to them that's never going to come here. But your example before them could bring them into the body of Christ. And that's important. So we need to be busy about building the kingdom along with building the church. So, see again, concerned is sowing. We're concerned. People feel us. When you're actually sowing concern, people feel it. If it's just a facade, they can feel it. I've seen people that you thinking, man, oh man, those people really care about me. And then when it really comes down to it, you find out, no, they didn't. They don't care. They were just putting on that facade. It's like this. The devil can imitate the gifts, but he can't imitate the fruit. Amen? The devil, the Bible says in Revelation, call fire down from heaven. There's some things he can do. He's done it in the Old Testament. He's done it now. The devil can imitate the gifts, but he can't imitate the fruit because there's no love in him. In order for you to demonstrate the fruit, there's got to be love in you. And so we also got to remember that when we're doing stuff, we got to remember God's called us to make a difference in people's lives. So, here we go. Ask God to send us forth. That word, I like what he says here. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will... Thank you. There's... Thank you. I forgot to turn it off. Now all y'all know there's brown envelopes in the chaplain's office. Make sure I give them out to everybody. Okay. Just in case y'all... Just in case not everybody heard that. Okay. I'm sorry. I knew there was something else I was supposed to be doing. Okay. The Greek is very powerful in this. The Greek says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest. Wow. So you see, send is a very powerful word. No, you just don't need them out there just walking around doing nothing. God said, thrust them. So now, with that in mind, I want you to think about something. How many lately have been thrown into situations you really didn't want to be in? With that in mind, being thrown into situations you really want to be in, and during that situation, let me ask you a question. When you were in that situation, did you see the opportunity for your light to
shine.
He said, pray to the Lord of harvest to thrust workers into the field. When you're being thrust in a situation that you do not like, you do not understand, and a lot of times you're around people that you maybe don't like the way they are, now I want you to wonder, is Christ thrusting you into the harvest? Because you might not do that without it. There are certain people I would not have talked to if I hadn't been thrown into the harvest. There are certain people I would not have been around if it hadn't been for the wreck or for the sickness or for whatever problems that may be coming along. I went and did a funeral last week in Benson for a man that was right at 90 years old. I did his funeral. And I didn't realize as I was going down there, there were several things I wound up getting thrust into. And if I'd have had my rathers, I wouldn't have. But you know what? He said, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he can thrust workers into the field. So now, next time you're thrown into something that you don't understand, you're thrown into something that you'd rather not, just remember, sometimes God's thrusting you into the harvest and you don't even realize it. Because if he just said, now go ahead, wouldn't do it. There's a lot of things that I get into that if God just said, go ahead, buddy, step on out there and let your light shine, I wouldn't do it. I know some of y'all would say, oh yeah, I'll do it. But some things I get in, I would not do it on my own. But because situations thrust me into it, I thank God that now my light gets a chance to really shine. So next time you get thrown into something you wish you hadn't of, thank God, here's a chance for my light to shine. All right? So now watch this. Matthew, we're going to go through it again. We're going to kind of break these down, and then won't keep you long. I always say that. Don't always do it, but always say it. How about that? Matthew 9:37. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. His harvest. Now watch this. The harvest is plenteous. Somebody say more than enough. You know, one of the biggest problems I see in the church world is we'll beat each other up and fight for each other's people to get them here. When God said, I didn't call you to tear a church apart to build another church. He said, I told you to go out into the harvest and bring them in. Now, we can fight over the whatever, how many people go in three different churches, or we can get out and do God's business and fill the place up. The choice is ours. Really is, because God's already told us what he wants us to do. He wants us to go out and bring them in. If we go out and bring them in, this, you know, every church in this area could fill up to the brim and still be people out there. Amen. I know it sounds kind of tough at times, but it's the truth. God's not called us to tear other places apart. God's called us to go out to the harvest and bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. But the problem is when you go out into the harvest and bring them in, you're going to bring in people that don't know anything about church. They might not have the best manners in the world. They may come in here. I've seen them many a time, especially at Bath, where I actually took youngins out when they come in and wipe their faces when they walked in the door. Brought them in and wiped their faces. Amen? That's what God told us to do. Go out and bring them in. They might not be the color. They might. You remember me talking, I know you remember telling the story. I was in Bath Church of God, and my head usher came to me in the service, and I'd get ready to walk to the pulpit, and he said, I just want you to know that today's my last day. There was nothing wrong. We've been joking and carrying on. Just that morning, he says, today's going to be my last day. And I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, you see that woman up there? And she happened to be black. He said, see that woman there? He said, if she's coming here, I don't want to be here. And I said, what's wrong? He said, she's the biggest drug dealer in the area. Don't want her. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll talk to you later about it. We had service that day. She came up and got saved. I called him up, and I said, so you're upset with that woman because she's drug dealer. And maybe she might even, I mean, might, I don't think he had a problem with the black part. It was the drug dealer part. But still, she was black too. And I said, you know what? I've been praying all afternoon how to talk to you, and I got it all figured out. Lord, show me. He says, really? I said, yeah, Lord, show me what to do. He says, well, I said, I'm appointing you a special job. He said, okay, Pastor, what does you want me to do? I said, I want you to stay at the front of the church, and I want you to watch everybody that comes in. If they're not driving the right kind of car, if they're not wearing the right kind of clothes, if they're not the right color, and if you just don't like them, I want you to tell them they're not welcome here and tell them to go on. And he said, what? I said, you heard me. If you don't like the way they're driving, if you don't like the way they look, if you don't like the way they talk, if you just don't even like them, tell them they're not welcome here. You tell them to turn around and leave. He said, Jesus wouldn't do that. And I said, and us and you? He said, I'll be there tonight. That woman, he actually became really involved with not just the church, but even with that woman, because that woman wound up being a great missionary and went all over the world talking about Jesus. Went everywhere talking about Jesus. So don't ever underestimate the power of the gospel and the fear and the harvest. Okay, I was looking for a cough drop, brother. I had some cough drops, but they all dropped away. Yes, sir, right behind you. Oh, he's got some. Okay, he's got some. All right. So now, the harvest is plenty, more than enough. The problem is the harvesters are few, not enough. There's so much out there that we can be doing, but you know what? Remember what I told you? If all we do is what makes us feel good, we're only satisfying the flesh. But if we'll do what is right, we'll satisfy God. I can't say that enough. If all we're going to do is what makes us feel good, we're satisfying the flesh. But if we'll do more than what, we can still do what makes us feel good, but let's do what's right. If you throw in there and do what's right, then guess what? God is pleased and God will handle it. God will do something special. So it's very important we understand that. So ask God to send forth. He said the Lord of the harvest. Now there's been a controversy over the years. He's talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? The Lord commissioned them and sent them out. But the Holy Spirit is also, he's the convicting power that we have in the age of the Spirit. And with God wanted all this done. So you know what? You can argue if it's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, they're all God. So we're going to argue about whether it's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. They're all in one. So, yes, Jesus Christ sent them out. Jesus was the executive officer. Amen. God, he was the CEO. Jesus was the chief operating officer. And the Holy Ghost, now, he's the COO. So does it really matter? We can argue about it all we want to. We're going to please God. God wants to send us out, thrust us out into situations that we necessarily don't like, thrust us in them so that we can make a difference in people's lives. Amen? So now, John 4:35. I put the Amplified version down here, but we'll look at it in the King James first. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, but they are white already for harvest. So now, watch this. I wrote some little words down, just a few words. Do not say 4 months. So watch this. Do not say 4 months and then until the harvest time. But watch this. He's saying, I don't want you living by excuses. And I don't want you living by procrastination. Do you know that procrastination is one of the biggest problems? The spirit of procrastination is one of the biggest problems in the church world today. The spirit of procrastination. Procrastination keeps us in the shaker and keeps the light switch off. You know, my wife told me one time I was a good procrastinator, so I decided I was going to join the procrastinators club, but I decided to, I keep putting it off. They've had the same president for 10 years now because they keep putting elections off. And most of the members never joined, they kept putting it off. Amen. So now, last night, the Lord convicted me. I was walking out of Walmart, I'd gotten some water. I got a big old thing of water, and I got some, picked up some sandwich stuff, and I was on the way home, and it was really, I was in a hurry, and I was trying to hurry up and get to where I was going. And there was a man sitting outside, and as far as I know, he was just sitting there. And I heard the Spirit say, give him some water. But he didn't tell me to give him the water until I'd already passed him. I was halfway to my car when I heard him say, give him water. And of course, this guy had been a beggar before, and if he was begging then or not, a panhandling. I know he'd been panhandling. And so I passed him, and as I'm walking right to my car, he says, give him some water. And so I put the stuff in my car, closed the door, pushed the cart to the side, and then I heard the Lord again say, what did I tell you? So I opened up the door, and I reached inside, and I grabbed the water, and I went back. And as I went back, he was walking inside the store. And you know, I never could find him. And I thought to myself, Lord, why'd you tell me to do this if he's going to walk away and I never get a chance to see him? And the only thing I could think of was he was giving me the opportunity to be obedient. Because I had the water. I brought the water. I was going to bring the water and say, here, get you some water. You know, I don't know, but I did hear the Lord tell me, give the man water. That's right. Well, I know if I'd give him water to start with, it might work toward that springs of living water. That's right. You're right. So, do not say 4 more months, which is excuses. Don't live by excuses. Don't live by procrastination. You say, well, I really don't have a chance to get into the harvest. Do you work around people? You're in the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Oh, this right here in this day and time has really gotten to me. I reckon because I see it so much everywhere. How many has ever tried to talk to your kids and they're on Facebook? And you talk to your kids and they're going, sure. Yeah, Dad, right, yeah. So, you know, one day I said, I think it was Daniel. Daniel, your house is on fire. That's good. Yeah, I think Emmy and them are probably still in there. You might want to go check them. I'll do it later. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, the fire department's done come, said it's a total loss. That's nice. You know, that's one thing when it's out there, but we do that now with God. It used to, years ago, we'd come to church and we were so preoccupied with our problems that we'd sit there and we couldn't hear what God was saying to us because we were so preoccupied. And that's because things were being thrust on us. But now we're doing it to ourselves. We come in, we're too busy while the preacher's preaching, playing on Facebook, playing games, doing something, or just our mind's not in it. And then we're going, why isn't God talking to me? I have no idea. Or we come in here and our mind's so caught up in what somebody else is doing or what somebody else has said, and we don't hear a word anybody else is saying because we're so aggravated. I can't believe that person sitting in front of me. You know what? Thank God they're sitting in front of you. They're here. There's a chance. Or I wish he'd be quiet, because I the Reds are playing the Orioles. And I really, you know, it's a 12 o'clock, I mean, it's a Sunday game, I know, but I got to get back. You know, or if I don't get my special spot at the Golden Corral at 12:30, Satan is destroying us with distractions and disinterest. Don't matter anymore. God wants us to be so engaged in the harvest that when the harvest is taking place, we know, remember, you're thrust into the harvest. You don't just go into the harvest. He thrust us into the harvest. I mean, he puts us in situations we don't necessarily want to be in, but we're there because he wants our light to shine. And he wants us to add flavor to the situation we're in. So now, he said the fields are already white and ready for harvest. Guess what? Today is the day of salvation. You know, we had some guys over here working in here today. And of course, I asked their names, and we cut up with them back and forth. And I knew they were both in Jeannie's office. One was David, and one was Greg. I knew they were both in the office. I knew they were there. I looked over, and I said, who's taking care of business? And David said, I said, oh, there's David. Good. I said, because I don't trust Greg. And Greg started laughing. I said, I know you were there, man. I was just cutting up with you. Y'all both are doing good. You know, but again, every chance we get, we are thrust into the harvest. Praise God. Even if it's the checkout line at Walmart, or if it's whatever it is, we are thrust into the harvest, and we need to treat every opportunity as the harvest. Some people have come to church over the years that I met in some of the craziest ways. Didn't understand why I was meeting these people like this. Didn't realize at the time that God was thrusting me into the harvest. God thrust us into the harvest. Today is the day of salvation. Don't be disinterested. Don't be distracted. Let God touch us. There's a harvest out there. There's such a harvest out there. Praise God. We could fill up this church and double the size of the church. If everybody in this church would win one person this year, one, the church would automatically double. And if they would win, and you win another one, guess what? We'd have to build another church. Yeah. But remember, to not show interest. I like this. I'm going to give you 10 reasons why we ought to pray for the Lord of harvest to do this, and then I'm going to close. All right? Somebody say praise God. All right, ready? Number one, here are 5 reasons why we need to pray for the harvest. Number one, the harvest is now. Don't postpone to tomorrow what you can do today. The harvest is now. Number two, the harvest is ripe. All it takes for evil to abound is for good men to do nothing. You know, in the prisons, the fastest growing denomination or religion is Islam. Not Christianity, Islam. Islam. Number three, if we don't do something, the harvest will be destroyed. Joel 1:11 says, "Be ashamed, you farmers, well, you wine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished." It was out in the field, and said, being brought in, it perished. Number four, the harvest must be seen. He says, I want you to lift up your eyes, quit being distracted. Lift up your eyes, quit being disinterested. Lift up your eyes and see the harvest. And then finally, God is wanting laborers to be sent. What is so difficult to understand with the word go? Go. 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 The gospel starts with the word go. God, help us to get into the harvest. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for everything you've done for us. I thank you, God, you've called us to be salt and light. You've called us to make a difference in the people that are around us, Lord. You've called us, Lord, and caused us to be able to make a difference in so many people's lives. Lord, I found over the years when I was thrust into the situations that I was in that some of the greatest people that worked for you came out of those crazy situations. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint us, to help us be ready when we're thrust into the situations, to be harvesters, to be salt, to be light. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, one more story and I'm going to let you go. Some of y'all have already heard this, but we had a play, an Easter play, when I was in Benson. And the Easter play had 50 people in the play. And we were doing all of our practice one night. We were doing Paul and Silas in prison. And we needed a man to be the jailer, the Philippian jailer. And there was a guy that had been coming and bringing his kid and his wife, but he wouldn't participate. He sat in the back. And we said, we forgot about the Philippian jailer. Who's going to be the Philippian jailer? And his brother-in-law said, get Sammy. And I thought to myself, Sammy's not going to say yes. I like to call him Sarcastic Sammy. Sour Sammy. And Sammy said, what I got to do? Said, you got to stand here, and when the time comes, you're going to put these guys in jail. When the time comes, you know, you act like you're committing suicide. And he said, I can do that. I went, whoa. So Sammy comes up, and Sammy comes up to practice. We're going through the song, I Will Praise the Lord, by Ray Bolster, playing the song. And I told him, I said, now, when you get, when it says the walls begin to shake, I want you to take that sword, and I want you to hold it up like this, and Paul's going to come and take the sword out of your hand. He said, okay. Still kind of disinterested, but he said, okay. And when that song was going through, I Will Praise the Lord, and we had the thing built so the jail actually would come apart, and the stuff would fall, and we had smoking lights going. And when it come to the walls began to shake, and he grabbed that sword, and he went up like this. And Paul come up to him, the guy playing Paul, put his hand on his hands and said, mm-mm, and did like this. At that moment, God touched that man. And he started with tears in his eyes. From that time on, he was no longer Sarcastic Sammy. He soon became Saved Sammy. You never understand where the harvest is going to come from. You never know that person you think would never have anything to do with you winds up being your best friend. And that person you think would never would give God a chance may wind up one day even spreading the gospel. I saw Sammy years later. That's a good sister. I did it a while ago too. Yeah, mine went off, sister. It's fine. We can forget that stuff. Amen. But this man, I saw him years later, and then I just seen him. I saw him, I think I was preaching somebody, yeah, I was preaching his brother-in-law's funeral. That's the time I had strep throat, and I didn't really think that it was a good idea to come out, and they wanted to preach his funeral so bad that they said, please come, we'll take the chance, you know. And when I get there, who walks up to me and grabs me and thanks me? Old Saved Sammy. And guess who was playing the music? His son. And guess where his son went after he left us? Well, I left Fairhaven, and he left Fairhaven later after he graduated. He traveled all over the country. He went to Lynchburg. Why do y'all call Lynchburg? What's that place called that you went to college at? Is it Liberty? He went to Liberty, you know, I'm being funny, y'all. He went to Liberty University, and he wound up traveling the country with the Liberty Singers as he played the guitar for them. And honestly, it all started with a man who I didn't think would give me the time of day, putting up his sword, practicing to play. And you can see the Holy Ghost hit him as he brings the sword down and the guy grabs his hand. It's amazing. Don't ever doubt what God can do. Everywhere you go, brother Billy, he was an evangelist. Did you know Brother Billy was an evangelist? He wasn't Billy Graham, he was Billy Bonagram. When he was in the nursing home, he had them people wound up. It tickled me. Every time I see him, I had people wound up. The harvest is everywhere. It's everywhere. I already told the story, but I can pray again. Y'all are looking good. Sunday morning, we're starting back on the Beatitudes. And I'd like to tell you that it's all going to be fun from here down, from here, but I said that last time and it wasn't so fun. So we're having Beatitudes. So Sunday morning, we're going back to Beatitudes, and then we're going to have some fun stuff after the Beatitudes. Everybody happy? And let your face know it. God's awesome. Hey. Amen. Brother Billy, will you do us the honor of dismissing this prayer, please?